סרטי הפרקים המשנה זוהר רבי ליעזר אומר קרקע בית רויבה חייבת בפה. רבי ליעזר said the minimum size of a piece of land to be chayev in pear that you would be obligated to give pear from this land is a karka of a base rova, that the karka is large enough to plant a rova a quarter of a cup of this rock. But fortune said, such a land is about 10.5 amos by 10.5 amos. That is the minimum size for a piece of land to obligate you to give pear according to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua Omer ha'oises ha'sayim. Rabbi Yeshua says, the minimum size for a piece of land to obligate you to give payah is a piece of land that produces 2 sa' of tevuah, which is 12 kabin. If the land is large enough to produce 12 kabin of grain, such a land would be chayev in payah. As according to Rabbi Yeshua, we don't look as to how much could be planted in the ground. Instead, we look to see how much the land could produce. If the land could produce 2 sa', such a land would obligate you to give pay. Rabbi Tarfon Aymer, Shisha Achshisha Tvach. Rabbi Tarfon says, the minimum size for a piece of land to be chayev in pay is a land the size of 6 tvachim by 6 tvachim. Even a small piece of land like that would be chayev in pay. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaser Aymer, Kidei Lekatzer V'Lishanos, V'Halacha Kidvar. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaser says, that if the land is big enough, that you can harvest and then repeat, you can harvest twice, such a land is chayev in peah. And halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. The way they would harvest in those days is that they would grab the produce with their hand and then cut it. And if there's enough produce to do that twice, to grab produce once and to cut it, and then to grab more produce and to cut it, such a land is big enough to be chayev you in peah. And that would be the halacha. Rabbi Kiva Aymer karka kol shehu chayev es bepeah. Uvabikurim, the licht of a la puzball, the lichnos emo nechatim she'elam achrayis, the kesef uvashtar, uvachazata. Rabbi Kiva says, even the most minimal amount of karka would be mechayiv you in peah. You don't need a large piece of karka to mechayiv you in peah. Even the smallest amount of karka would obligate you to give peah, and so too, the smallest amount of karka would obligate you to bring bikurim. If there was some produce from the Shivat Haminim on this very tiny piece of karka, you would be obligated to bring Bikurim from the produce. And so too, the smallest amount of karka is enough to write on that karka a prosbol. A prosbol is a document that is given by a lender to Bezdin that would allow the lender to collect a loan after Shemitah. And Shemitah is Meshameh Dechov, somebody who borrows money. When the year of Shemitah passes, he no longer is mechuyev to pay back the money. And Hillel was mitaken that if the lender writes a prosbol and gives the prosbol to Bezdin, that would allow him to collect the chov. Because once he gives the prosbol to Bezdin, it's as if Bezdin is collecting the chov. So therefore, it would be permitted to collect the loan even after Shemitah. But there's one stipulation. In order to write a prosbol on a loan, the borrower must have a piece of karka. And that way, if he has a piece of karka, we look at it as if that piece of karka is in the possession of Bezdin, and that's what allows him to collect the loan even after Shavuot. And even if the borrower has a tiny piece of karka, that's enough for the lender to write a prosbol on that piece of karka that the borrower has. And so too, the tiniest piece of karka would allow somebody to buy property that does not have achrayis, meaning to say, movable property, property other than real estate, with a king in kesef, or a king in shtar, or a king in chazaka. And the din is that only karka, only real estate, can be bought with king in kesef by giving money, or with a king in shtar by giving a document, or with a king in chazaka by doing some work on the land. But property other than karka, movable property, cannot be acquired with these methods of kinyanim. There are other methods of kinyanim to acquire movable property, a kinyan of hagbah or a kinyan of mashicha by picking up the property or by dragging the property. Those are the methods of kinyanim that are used for property other than karka. But if you are acquiring karka and also movable property, then the kinyan kesef, shtar, or chazaka that you do on the karka would be a kinyan also for the movable property that you're acquiring along with the karka. And even if the karka that you are acquiring with this kinyan kesef tzara chazaka is a tiny piece of karka, it would be enough to allow you to also be kona along with the karka, movable property, with the kinyan kesef tzara chazaka that you are doing on the karka. Somebody who's a shchibmara is on his deathbed, and he gave away his property in writing. If he left over some karka or anything else for himself, in such a case, the gifts that he gave are a matana. Even if he gets better, the gifts do not have to be returned to him. But if he didn't leave over any karka or anything else for himself, he gave away every last thing that he owned. In such a case, if he does get better, the gifts that he gave are not considered a matana, and they have to be returned to him. And obviously, he gave away these gifts because he thought he was dying. He didn't think he would get better, because otherwise he would have left over things for himself. The fact that he gave away every last object that he owned proved that he thought for sure he was going to die. That's why he gave away all of his property. And now that he did get better, turns out that the gift that he gave was a toast, was a mistake that he made, and therefore those gifts are not considered a matana, and they must be returned to him. Hakotev nechasov lebanam, v'katav leishto karka kosho. Ibdech suvasa, somebody who's a shchibra, is on his deathbed, and he's dividing up the property among his sons in writing. And he included his wife by giving her also a piece of karka among the sons. And she knew about it and was silent. She didn't say anything. In such a case, she loses her ksuva, the ksuva that she would normally receive upon the death of her husband. In this case, she would not collect the ksuva. And since she agreed to get a piece of karka along with the sons, she has forfeited her right to the ksuva, as obviously she prefers to take that piece of karka and not to collect her ksuva. From Yaseyama and Kibla allow Apa Pish Lokasav La Ibda Ksuvasa. From Yaseyama said, if Ishchimra was giving that property to his son, and the wife accepted upon herself to also take a piece of karka among the sons, even though no kinin was made, and he never actually commanded that somebody should write down that his wife would take a piece of karka along with the son, since she accepted upon herself that she would take a piece of karka along with the son, she has now forfeited her ksuba upon her husband's death. She would not collect her ksuba.